This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, normally I would say we are halfway home on a Thursday, but we will have a round table coming at you live and commercial free after the show today. I'm also not going to say it's been a fun first 2 hours here on Ben and Woods this morning. These shows are not fun to do, but they're certainly important to do. I want to let you guys know we're here for you. It's not the end of the world. There's another game. So the Doomers, listen, man, this is what you've been waiting for. Doomers, a game five winner take all to advance to play the Mets.
Did we really think the Padres were simply going to make it all the way through the postseason with no stressful games, no possibilities of elimination?
Has it ever happened?
I was surprised. I mean, there's been teams that have not faced elimination. You know, they sweep, win in six, win in five, and never have to face an elimination game. Never really saw that as the path for this Padres team.
Those games were not stress-free, though.
I was surprised yesterday. I saw the stat during the broadcast that Dave Roberts, all-time in elimination games, is now, I believe, 12-7. Yeah. After the win yesterday, they've performed quite well. Now,
a lot of the early series, yeah.
The problem is they've played too many elimination games.
Correct.
Because all you have to do is lose one elimination game and your season is over. When you have to win a bunch of those, you don't want to put yourself in that position. Now, the Padres will face their first one. The Dodgers are facing a second elimination game. They don't get easier. You don't like, okay, now that we got one under our belt, we're going to just keep winning these elimination games. No, you keep putting yourself in a position where you have to play elimination games, you're going to lose one of them and your season is going to be over. Dodgers now have a second chance to have their season being over tomorrow. Padres, it's only their first one. It's a better spot to be in. The fewer elimination games you play, the better position you put yourself in the postseason.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, man. There's a lot of numbers you can throw out. It's just such a different animal entirely, this postseason baseball. It just really is, and it's hard to handicap. And you know, but again, I will always fall back on when you're talking about playing the team from L.A., you know, how nice is it to have two MVPs at the top of your lineup in a lockdown bullpen? You can get a lot done. They've done it. They're a good team. They were the favorites at the beginning of the series. They were the favorites to win the World Series. Probably should have won about 115 games. They had a lot of guys get banged up. But, you know, look, this is what you live for if you're a player. I loved the guys' attitudes last night. I did see Padres fans saying, well, Dylan Cease acted like he didn't even care. And Jackson Merrill looked so relaxed after. You have to be. You can't grind through it for 48 hours till you get to game five. You have to flush it. This team's been brilliant at flushing it all season long.
So you mentioned the odds, and I just updated the FanGraphs odds to win the World Series and win the Division Series. Would you like to know what the numbers guys say about the Padres and Dodgers' chances?
Sure.
According to FanGraphs, the Dodgers have a 50.5% chance of winning the Division Series. The Padres have a 49.5% chance of winning the Division Series. And the Dodgers have a 19.4% chance of winning the World Series. The Padres have an 18.2% chance of winning the World Series. It is a coin flip. Would you feel better if we just decided it on one flip of a quarter? Heads or tails, winner goes on. Because that's essentially what the numbers say this now is. It is a coin flip between the Padres and the Dodgers.
I don't want to flip a coin. I want to play the
game.
I
do
want to see what happens.
I do too. I would rather... You know what? The reason why I want to play those games, play the game tomorrow, is I like the Padres in that situation. I like Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado going into a game five. Don't think they're the kind of guys who wilt in big moments. I don't know that the Dodgers are either, but I want to see what the Padres look like in that kind of situation on the road in a game five, because I tend to think it brings out the best in the San Diego Padres, not the worst. It,
especially this year. And I think that's why I was so bummed last night, you know, seeing so many people quit on this team. Maybe it's emotional insurance. Maybe it's just lashing out after a crap game. I mean, our beloved Anthony the Butcher, Anthony in the chat, he says, I don't know how you can sit through that game last night and feel any confidence about Friday. Well, I mean, they got 162 games of evidence that they can do it. They absolutely can do it. You're asking them to win one baseball game. That's what you're asking them to do. You're asking them to play good defense. You're asking them to hit the ball, which they haven't done a ton of. You're asking them to drive in runs with runners in scoring position. And you're asking them to get outs. They can do all of these things. They can do all of these things. They're a really good team, a really, really good team. And they've earned, I think, a lot of trust this season with the way they've played, with their backs against the wall, a bunch. So, I mean, it's not ideal. You felt like you had kind of a wounded animal yesterday in the LA Dodgers with some of their injuries. But, man, wounded animals, you don't want to fight one of those, you know, ever, especially a team like that. You know, they're a good, good team. So we'll see what happens. You don't want guys... You hate to see guys like Gavin Lux getting hot and Max Muncy ripping one down the line. You know, those are the guys that murder you. Of course, Shohei's going to get his. Mookie's was always going to get his. Teoscar's a really good player. He's the only likable Dodger, I feel. But, man, it's those other guys. The Will Smith letting him, you know, hit a bomb last night. You're like, man, that guy had been terrible up until that point. Get a little confidence in them. I can see why Anthony's upset, certainly. But, man, you got to let the chips fall where they may on Friday night.
All right, we don't do this all the time, but if you've got something you want to get off your chest, you want to be heard this morning,
yeah,
we are actually going to open up our phone lines, 833-288-0973. If you want to give us a call, we're open here until Eno joins us in just under 30 minutes. So this is your chance, Padres fans. Talk to Ben and Woods and Paul. Talk to San Diego. You know everybody's listening. I got a huge number in our YouTube stream again. Call us now, 833-288-0973.
So I guess the only bright spot is if the Dodgers win, Dave Roberts stays. That's it.
Skip Schumacher
right now is like, son of a... Right? He's rooting for the Pods hard.
I don't know. I mean...
You want that gig.
Probably. It's a fairly well-paying gig.
Oh, you think so?
Skip's got a decent agent as a manager of the year, and Dodgers probably can negotiate a fairly decent deal there for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know that, you know, if they get eliminated by the Mets, does that change the equation for the Dodgers? Is that a successful season for L.A.? If they only get to the NLCS?
Yeah, based on the injuries. Of course, you got to keep Dave. You got to run it back.
So you're saying if they lose if they lose tomorrow,
yes,
it's a failure of a season. But if they win and
correct,
they get swept by the Mets,
that's exactly what I'm saying.
It's a successful season.
Correct.
I don't know about that logic, Woods. Not sure I follow you there. But, I mean, yeah, well, let's just do it. I just wish we could fast forward now to tomorrow in game time.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to suck. Paulie's out tomorrow. He's going to a wedding in Palm Springs. Who's getting married, Paulie?
My buddy Kyle from kindergarten. I've known him.
Okay, and he's getting married in Palm Springs, and you're going. Are you in the wedding?
Nope. Get to just enjoy this one.
Okay.
I got a welcome party later tonight, and then some golf scheduled bright and early tomorrow morning.
How's
and then
the
wedding
game
on Saturday? I haven't swung a club in at least 3 months.
Which means you'll probably play pretty well, if I had to guess.
Better. I will not be mad. Like, I don't get upset. Like, you can't be upset at yourself
if you never
shank
practice
one and you're like, I haven't swung a club in months. But I got two sticks that are playing and then another buddy that's not. He's going to be on the same level as me. So.
And who's filling in for you tomorrow?
That's a good question. I'm glad you asked.
Is it the Kluger?
I don't know. I asked him earlier. And I'm waiting on a response.
Okay. Or Italian Paul.
I think he might be off tomorrow for a holiday.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So I'm not sure.
So maybe Italian Paul. Met fan Italian Paul. He's got to be feeling really good right now. And terrible as well.
He'll be a good guy to have in, though. I mean, you know, with that matchup coming up, we can talk a little bit about
Italian
the...
You don't want He's rooting for the Dodgers. He's got to be rooting for the
Why?
Because the emotional... tear that would pull on him to have
of also like
Padres versus Mets.
I think the Padres versus Mets is a no lose situation for Italian Paul. He can be happy no matter what happens in that series. That's a perfect series for him.
I don't know. He tweeted something the other day about how it was going to be really, really tough if it was Padres Mets. But
him tweeting that out tells me he's rooting for the Mets.
Oh, yeah, big time.
I know. Adam says he's going to be on the board tomorrow morning.
We have Bald Reindl joining us tomorrow.
All right. We're going to be stressed out a little bit tomorrow. That's
tomorrow's going to be so much fun.
Let's go out to our phone lines, Woods. Let's start at the top of the board. Looks like we got Zach calling in this morning to Ben and Woods. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Fantastic.
You know,
how are you?
Had better mornings, but we're okay.
So much fun.
I'm doing okay. I have this quiet confidence this morning because the boys have had their backs against the walls plenty of times this season. And we'll see what this team's made of Friday night. I think one change I'd like to see, I want to see Fernando hit first, put the pressure on right from the get-go, get your hottest hitter up to the plate as many times as possible, and move Machado up to third.
Yeah, love it.
And, yeah, do damage.
I love it, man. I love that. I love that idea so much. And, you know, I don't think you can look at that and say, oh God, Padres are panicking. Just like I didn't think Dylan Cease yesterday was a panic move. It's Dylan Cease, right? Like, the guy's stuff, he did have good stuff last night, but the location was not there. And again, credit to them for being really good hitters. You don't win MVPs without being excellent hitters. So I just don't think of it as a panic at all. I think it's trying to spark something. Arise right now is not hitting.
I just don't get the sense that Mike Schilt is someone who is going to make a change.
I don't either.
Before tomorrow's game, because of his ultimate faith in his players and belief in them, it almost forces him to continue to do what he's been doing, because anything else is kind of an admission that what he has been doing isn't working as well as he wants. I mean, they've made changes through the year. They did make some changes.
Is it an admission, or is it
Here's the thing.
If
you dropped Luis Arraez down
to the nine hole,
wherever, 5, 7, 9, whatever, and he goes 4 for 4, are you taking credit? Hey, I got him going by moving him down in the lineup. Or are you going, dummy, we could have had 4 for 4 at the top of the lineup. Why did you move him down?
No, you don't. I don't think you lamented it at all.
It's kind of a no-lose situation, because if you move him down and he hits, you're like, that's exactly what we needed. If you move him down and he doesn't hit, it's like, glad we moved him down and didn't have that offer at the top of the order. It's kind of a no-lose situation as a manager to move him down. No one's ever going to complain, I think, about Fernando Tatis Jr. leading off.
No.
Shohei Ohtani leads off. Tatis can lead off. I don't think that there's really any criticism or any second guessing that could come from that move. You know, if Tatis goes 0 for 4, you can go, oh, you put him up there and he went 0 for 4. Well, I mean,
it's Fernando Tatis
Jr. We've
seen him do it before.
He's been the most insanely hot player. He had great double yesterday after getting knocked down. He is locked in. He is seeing it. Why not get that guy up? If it comes down and it's tied, you know, one run game, whatever, in the ninth inning, and there's a chance that, you know, he may get up and he may not get up in the last inning. If you got the, you know, 8-9-1, would you rather have him be batting first or second?
Correct.
In that situation in the ninth inning? Why not give him one more chance, you know, to possibly get up and impact that game with a fifth at bat or a sixth at bat or whatever it is? You would hate your season to end down a run with Fernando Tatis Jr. in the on-deck circle when you could have had him batting higher in the lineup.
People in the chat saying it is absolutely a panic move. I don't think it is. I don't think it's panic. I don't think panic is the right word for it at all. If a guy's not hitting, you know, move a guy that is hitting. Again, Shohei is their leadoff hitter. He's their best hitter, right? These are the big boy moves that we talked about. You got to make big boy decisions.
I guess the part of me that's just not sure about this is it working or is it not working? The Padres are 4-2 in the playoffs.
True.
That's true. 667 winning percentage. I mean, that is incredible to have a 667 winning percentage in the playoffs. In some ways, everything they're doing is working incredibly well so far.
Yeah.
The problem is, if you lose tomorrow, you will exit the playoffs with a winning record.
Correct.
The Padres have never had a winning record in any playoffs in history. Even when they went to the World Series, they always ended up with a 500 or worse record. They have never had a winning record in the playoffs. They lose today. They will finish with a winning record in the playoffs for the first time in franchise history.
Pretty nuts, man. Pretty nuts.
Isn't that crazy?
That's nothing to hang your hat on, certainly at all, because the expectations have changed. You need to win this series, and you need to do it Friday.
All right, got full phone line, so we'll run through some calls. We're right after traffic before Eno Saris joins us, so don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, I see these phone calls coming in. If you want to join us, 833-288-0973. Eno Saris will join us in a few minutes, but we wanted you to let it all out, San Diego. Get whatever you've got off your chest here after the Padres headed to a Game 5 against the Dodgers. We got Ron calling in this morning. Ron, welcome to Ben and Woods.
Good morning, fellas. How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm not doing very well, to be honest with you. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you guys something. That decision, you guys can sugarcoat it all you want, but that decision to start Dylan Cease, who does not do well against the Dodgers in the first place, and not to mention 3 days rest, and it's almost like backing up the Titanic and hoping it doesn't hit the iceberg again. I mean, I honestly, you know, Martin Perez helped the Padres get to where they are today. And why you would not start that guy with all the rest that he's had and give him a shot with a short leash, just like you did Dylan Cease. And in my opinion, the Padres were defeated in that first inning. They were all sitting on the bench. They had their heads down. And this did nothing but give the Dodgers all the momentum going into Friday.
That's fair. I mean, it's a fair point you make, man.
You pointed out the numbers. Martin Perez against the Dodgers has been horrible. Now, he didn't face him with the Padres, but they faced him in his career many times.
They're hitting 400,
you said, against him. Yeah.
397. OPS is over 1,100. Look, that would have been a risk as well. Just like we said yesterday, this was a risk to start Dylan Cease. So, you got to hit. Yeah, you got to hit. You scored no runs. Zero runs. So Sandy Koufax could have been pitching yesterday. You got to score off those guys, and you haven't done a good job scoring off the bullpen at all. So that's kind of what it boils down to. I'm bummed too. I thought Dylan Cease could have really set a tone there yesterday, and it didn't happen. He wanted the ball, he got it, and it didn't work out. ERA of 14.40 in the postseason for Dylan Cease right now, which is not what I expected.
Better to find out in Game 4 than game five. In my mind. Ron, thanks for the call. Let's try Jason. Are you there, Jason? Good morning. Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Hello.
Hello. Hey.
Morning, bud.
Hey, look, calm down, Padres fan. Look, I'm a Dodger fan.
Oh, so no.
I snuck in here.
I'm coming
to gloat a little bit.
Sure.
I loved how eerily quiet it was in Petco Park last night, and nobody's dancing around. But calm down, Padre fan. Let me tell you this from a Dodger fan working in San Diego County. We've been here before. It's been a good series. Hey, look, I'm proud of what you guys accomplished yesterday. I was surprised about the start of Dylan Cease, because the Dodgers got to him last time and they got to him again last night. So we'll see what happens. I do think we have the momentum. Something switched. Mookie hitting, and I think tomorrow night Shohei is gonna really earn that deferred money that he's gonna be getting.
Yeah.
But Shohei's gonna earn it. I think he's gonna earn. I think the Padres have been pitching him very, very well. I mean, I've been impressed at some of the method they use in shutting Shohei down. But look, moving Max Muncy to first, I think he's more comfortable at first base with Freddie Freeman out and everything else. But it's gonna be a good series. But calm down, Padres fans. Don't jump off the ship yet. Don't jump off the Coronado Bridge. Let's see how Game 5 plays out, although I do think the Dodgers will be victorious. But, you guys, there's still a little bit of hope, but I have to call and gloat a little bit.
Well, hey, listen, you've earned that right to do so. You're always
pretty reasonable
welcome.
Take, though,
very
from a
reasonable
Dodger fan.
Take,
yeah. Losing Freddie Freeman, you can go, well, apparently Freddie was the problem all along for the Dodgers. Chris Taylor went 0-4. I mean, they're a worse lineup. without Freddie Freeman.
Big time.
You know, and we'll see if, you know, 2 days of rest will help him get back into the lineup or if he's now unavailable going forward. Obviously, that landing, you know, on the base, trying to catch, that did not help the situation for Freddie Freeman with the ankle going forward. And if he can't play, it's definitely good for the Padres.
Yes.
No doubt about that,
yeah,
in my mind.
Absolutely right.
Let's get one more in here. Let's try Josh. You there, Josh?
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
State your fandom first.
Yeah. We need an automatic filter, I think.
I'm a true brown and gold.
There you go. You may proceed.
I'm obviously upset. You know, I'm not too worried. I think our boys are going to pull through. I'm more disappointed in the fans last night. Listening in, and it was quiet. Like, game two, Dodgers were down 10-1, and they were losing their minds. The fact that Petco was so quiet, I listened to a lot of different podcasts and shows, and about random sports and stuff, and a lot of their talks about the Padres, they're saying, you know, they're genuinely shocked that Petco is so loud and our fandom is so passionate, and I didn't see it last night. And, you know, if we make it to the championship series, our fans can't, you know, they got to pipe up.
It's not football, Josh. Thanks for the call. It's not football. There's no really opportunity. It feels forced. If you're all of a sudden just standing up and screaming when the count's, you know, 2-0 in the top of the second inning and nobody's on base, that's not how baseball works. You need things to cheer. You need runners on base. You need two strikes. You need situations to get loud for. You know, it's not simply, it's third and seven, and you're yelling to make sure the quarterback can't hear the signal.
It's the chicken and the egg, man. I was at the game the other night. I went to the 6-5 victory game. I didn't make a sound when the Padres were pitching. Not a sound, right? Like, I stared at the ground. That's how I fan. I'm a wreck. When we got a knock, I cheered. When we struck somebody out, I cheered, right? But I was really, really quiet, and that was a really, really tight game as well. Last night was not a tight game. It's the chicken and the egg.
I was at Dodger Stadium in game Saturday. It was really loud in there when they won, you know, when they rallied and they won, really loud. Silent when the Padres, you know, won 10-2. Silent in there. There was no one making any noise.
Yeah, so I think that's
how baseball works.
I think I disagree with his take that they were loud even when they were getting bodied. You were there in the house. It was quiet. And people were streaming for the streets.
Absolutely.
As they absolutely should have.
That's how baseball works.
That's how baseball works.
The Padres have to keep it close and give you reasons to cheer. They didn't yesterday. They didn't at all.
Yeah.
All right, we can go back to some phones in our 9 o'clock hour, but we'll take a break now. Some smart baseball with Eno Saris coming up on a Thursday. That is next. I also have an update on our amazing rule idea, our DH idea that we got earlier. I'll share that with Eno as well coming up next on 97.3 The Fan. Talked earlier an idea from Alex, who tweeted in last night, something that I thought might revolutionize bullpen days in baseball. And he suggested that instead of naming a designated hitter, like at the bottom of the lineup, like the Padres did, simply like put in yesterday's starting pitcher as your DH and then decide based on who the pitcher ends up being, and you can just pinch hit. I have an update on that. I wanted to ask Eno about this, because this to me is like, that was the ultimate smart baseball move.
They put a pin in it, though.
Well, I got a tweet, and I did not know this, from Scott, who said, I think Earl Weaver did this in the 70s, but MLB didn't like it and made a rule against it. As I recall, the rule is you can't pinch hit for the designated hitter unless a pitching change has been made. So if the Padres started a pitcher at DH, they would have to hit if the Dodgers hadn't made a change. It just blew up the whole idea that we loved. Thanks a lot.
I knew it had to be too good.
Raining on our parade, Scott. So we got Eno standing by. He's going to join us for some real smart baseball, not the fake stuff that we're peddling here right after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
And what I love about this segment with Eno every week from The Athletic is really smart baseball is about finding little tiny ways to increase you know, your likelihood, small margins. And I don't know if that rule, you know, is still on the books or not, but, you know, just got a way to attack a bullpen game just a little bit differently. I love that we have people who think about these things to find out how you can maybe get one more at bat righty against a lefty in a situation, because maybe one day it makes a difference.
Yeah, you also lose your DH, right?
No, you don't, because they're still, you're just starting the DH as a D. You're naming, like, Michael King was your DH yesterday, and then when he actually comes up in the lineup, you just replace him with whoever you really wanted to be the DH, and then they go on to be the DH for the next part of the game. You're not putting anyone in the field, so you don't lose your DH.
Oh, you lose the DH when you put the guy in the field.
Yeah. But as long as, you know, you weren't ever going to use that person that you named the DH, I thought that's perfect. But they said maybe Major League Baseball had a rule against it in the 70s because Earl Weaver, of course, tried it.
Yeah, I'd like to legislate the bullpen game out of existence.
Oh, so much, man. So especially after, you know, watching last night, and you know, I've been on Dave Roberts a lot, and not just because of his, you know, postseason record and moves and things like that. He's made some mistakes. When you have that many playoff games, you're going to make mistakes, and they're going to be magnified when you're in LA, you know, but he really managed a good game last night, and you felt like any time the Padres could potentially counter, you're like, this is just no way. He's got a guy ready to go, and you saw the same thing. A.J. Hinch has been doing it brilliantly in Detroit, and that's more out of a necessity, I think, because they just don't have the arms at the top of the rotation, but it's certainly frustrating, hard for guys to get going against.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a different look every time you get to the plate. You know, it's higher velocity than you would have from a starting pitcher that would go all the way through. It's different pitches going in different directions every time somebody comes up. I mean, just going from Daniel Hudson to Blake Treinen is like, okay, I've got a traditional four-seam slider guy, and now I've got this super sinker, super bendy guy, you know, and then Kopech comes out with the big gas in, like, the third inning or whatever. It's like, it's a lot to keep up with as a hitter. My idea was to have an active roster like you have in other sports, and you have to declare whatever it is. You know, you can fight about the number, but if it's, you know, five pitchers for the night, then it's five pitchers for the night until it goes into extras. And that requires you to get more bulk from somebody. I think that would be a good idea. I think it could be a good idea for a couple reasons. You know, one thing it would do would be create a relationship between the team and the player that was centered often around injury and fatigue. And so we have to declare five pitchers for the night, and, you know, you've been used a lot recently, so we really think it'd be good for you to take a breather today. That sort of conversation. So I think it could be good for the sport, and I don't think these games are necessarily good for the sport because, A, you know, a lot of pitching changes, you know, means a lot of downtime, nothing happening, and B, it suppresses offense, and C, you know, as much as we like relievers and I value them and they can have intense stuff, their careers are shorter, their name value isn't as big, and, you know, it's just not usual that someone says, I'm going to the ballpark tonight to see Alex Bessie pitch.
Yeah, and Ryan Brazier start, you know, for the LA Dodgers. And, you know, but again, you use what you have at your disposal to win a ball game, which is why, you know, the three out minimum. And if you're going to do a bullpen game, yeah, it makes sense to have something in there like that, right? Where you can't just mix and match one guy on one guy. But I don't know, man. I see a lot of people saying, oh man, the Padres couldn't even win a bull, you know, against a bullpen game. And I'm like,
no, they're difficult. They're very difficult.
Yeah. Did you not see the guys that they were rolling out there every single inning? Now it's got to work, but it worked.
For the Dodgers, I think something that I even missed was when you're judging pens, a lot of time in the postseason, you will want to just boil it down to three or four. And one thing I liked about the Padres was it went, you know, I thought it went five or six deep. And, you know, I've talked about that for the Padres. But for the Dodgers, I think something I missed was, you know, you go past Evan Phillips and Blake Treinen and you think, and Michael Kopech, and you think, well, that's a pretty good threesome. Do they have the depth? And I think last night they proved that they pretty much have the depth in the bullpen. And Evan Phillips was their closer last year. And so he's a perfect guy to bring on for a string of righties, especially with his sweeper. So You know, that was a good thing. The only thing that is good for the Dodgers in respect to what happened last night, and the only reason, one of the reasons that this isn't done more often during the regular season, is because of fatigue and the fact that there's a game tomorrow. You know, there's another game. Now, they get the day off, but the thing that the Padres can do, or the hitters will have done, is they will have seen all of these pitchers recently, you know, this series, this week. And one thing that happens is you start to see the shapes that they throw, and you just become more comfortable with them. There's a study out there that shows that the more that a pitcher throws in a single series, the less effective they get. So, you know, they threw their best at them, and they're going to do it again. But, you know, re-racking it and doing it again with all the hitters being like, okay, I sat in against Anthony Banda last week, you know, like 2 days ago. I sat in against Bessie 2 days ago. So they're all going to be a little bit more likely to turn some of those long fly balls that they hit into homers, hopefully, you know, for them. And then also just to have a better look at them.
Of course, that works the other way. All those guys got three or even four looks at Yu Darvish just a few days ago. Yeah. Now, Darvish has more looks than anyone in baseball. And if
that's the good news.
You feel good about a guy mixing it up. Yeah, you know, it could be you.
Yeah, totally. And I thought he did something weird in the last start. His curveball was slower than usual. And I think that Yu Darvish was not throwing the Pierce Johnson knuckle curve that he's been throwing that's harder. I think he went back to an older curve. And it wasn't the Ephus, because he got the Ephus too. So he was throwing something that was like a slower curve, and he threw it more often than usual, and he got a lot of weak contact. I remember in particular somebody, you know, took a full swing at one of those curveballs.
I want to say Muncy.
And it just like sat in front of home plate, right?
But yeah, I know what you're talking about for sure. Speaking of like on the margins, like the tiniest things you can do to give a team an advantage. We saw the Dodgers employ something last night that I wanted to get your thoughts on. They moved Kike Hernandez and Chris Taylor back and forth between the outfield and the infield based on who the pitcher in the game was. What's kind of thinking do you think involved there?
Yeah, I think that's a spray chart decision. You know, one of them's a better defender than the other. I can't actually tell.
Yeah, I know. It's so, I mean, I couldn't tell either way. And you know, Jesse was talking to the game, like, I guess maybe they think one guy's more of a fly ball guy and they want a better defender in the outfield, but which one's the better defender in which position? I mean, this must be the tiniest of data points that they're trying to grab an advantage off of.
I'm surprised. You know, I talked to Sam Fold about this when he was a player, about the idea that, you know, they should platoon left and right field. Like if you've got a much better defender in one of those places to kind of have left and right field switch depending on the handedness of the batter, you know, because they pull the balls out there. So you could have a good defender be in the pull field. And, you know, we talked about it. I looked into it. I thought it was a good idea. But when I talked to players about it, some of them thought that's a lot of extra work for maybe one extra ball a game that I get to. And, you know, it turns out they would be at running maybe an extra mile or two per game.
Yeah, they almost killed Manny, moving him from third to right field, you know, that season before the shift was banned. I mean, just, you know, that was hard for Manny.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a joke when you're like, oh, these are professional athletes. But they're not necessarily the types of professional athletes that do a lot of long distance running or whatever.
Yeah, you
know? That's why they play baseball. That's exactly right.
Yeah, exactly. They run 90 feet real fast. You know, they don't run like miles and miles real slow. So, yeah. So that was part of it. But I guess with third base and left field, they're not going as far. So it's not asking them to go as far. I think it does have to do with who's the better fly ball defender, who's the better ground ball defender. I guess that's it. But if you ask me who's the better defender between those two, I don't know if I can tell you.
All I know is it was very annoying to watch. Talking to Eno Saris here on Ben and Woods this morning. And yeah, listen, I mean, Padres had a six-run outburst in the second inning the other night, have not scored since. That's obviously concerning.
What are you seeing out of the ABs from the guys right now? Again, tough pitchers, tough bullpen coming in, shutting them down last night, but also haven't really done anything against any bullpens yet.
Yeah, I saw a couple drives that, you know, seemed like they were just a couple feet short of homers, and there were some hard hit balls last night. They didn't hit as many as the Dodgers, but Tatis had two hard hit balls. Peralta had two hard hit balls. Everybody in the lineup except for Profar and Higashioka had a hard hit ball. So they were hitting it hard. They were making contact. It wasn't like it was a ton of strikeouts. I think Manny Machado turns one of those strikeouts into, you know, a good ball in play in the next game, and the narrative is a little different. So I can't complain about this offense. It's been so good all year, and even in a bullpen game where they were stymied, they still managed, seven hits and looks like 10 hard hit balls. So it wasn't terrible.
It's so hard when the season's on the line and you get shut out and you hear Eno going with less skin in the fan game to go, really didn't do anything wrong. It's just baseball. You know, you're going to have games like that, and you just want to react. Before you go, you know, I want to ask, what's your thoughts on how the Padres have attacked Shohei Ohtani and how the Dodgers have attacked Fernando Tatis Jr. without much success? But mostly they've been pitching to both of these guys in this series.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Shohei Ohtani, the way he lines up the plate, it reminds me a little bit of like Mike Morse or Matt Olson, where, you know, you see that those hands up in the air and you see the big tall guy and you think, I gotta pitch this guy inside. And so, that's been a long time book on Shohei Ohtani is up and in. But, you know, the weird thing is Ohtani kind of steps in the bucket. He has that kind of, almost like Ichiro aspect to his legs. And I think that allows him to pull his hands through really quickly. And so he can actually burn you on pitches up and in. And especially if your pitch up and in leaks out over the plate at all, he can get to that. So it's really hard with Ohtani. I think you kind of want to get him up and in, but you can't just do that over and over again, because then he'll anticipate what you're doing and pull through faster and do something on it. So that's why, you know, Dylan Cease threw him. I think it was Dylan Cease threw him. Somebody threw him a sweeper that he got a single on, and it was a right on left sweeper. And I was like, you know, why would you do that? But you have to throw him something different so that it's not, he doesn't, oh, this guy's trying to push me up and in. That's all he's going to do. You know, you can't do that to Ohtani. He'll have a way back. And Tatis, I think, you know, is so good all over, that it's the same thing with him, that you have to just kind of rock back and forth. You have to kind of, you can't let him anticipate what you're doing to him. And you just kind of have to fill up the zone in different quadrants with different pitches and just keep him guessing. Because if he gets it right, then he's going to hit it out.
Eno, really hope that next week we're talking about a Padres-Mets National League Championship Series and not a Mets-Dodgers National League Championship Series, but we will find out one way or the other tomorrow night, and we will talk to you one way or another next Thursday. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you,
buddy. Right, Smart Baseball with Eno Saris brought to you each week by 7 Mile Casino. Yeah, Eno says, I wish they didn't have bullpen games.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Well, I don't want to be the team that whines after, you know, like, oh, we had the layoff and we can't hit now. And you
can't get whooped on a bullpen day and come on the next morning.
I mean, we shouldn't like, bullpen do bullpen
days. Yeah, right. I get that.
It's like the DH murders if, you and you're like, I want to go back to pitchers hitting.
If I was a Reds fan, I was watching that Padres-Dodgers game. It's annoying to see so many middle inning pitching changes the entire game. It's not the best quality of baseball when that happens.
But, you know, listen, it is what it is. I'm not going to, you know, you got to, what does Mike Schilt say? Losers complain, winners find solutions.
Well, they got a chance to find a solution tomorrow. Paulie's got some Rattle Report solutions coming up next here on The Fan.